sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Just this.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Citizens.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Losers.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall. And I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression.
Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Culture.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Responsibility.
You fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, with my co-host Gord Barnes, and our special guest, Nora Berg. Nora is the director of the Theatre Saskatchewan production of Someone Who'll Watch Over Me, a play by Frank McGinnis, starring Brad McDougall, Reese Wagner, and Kevin Rispler. Welcome, Nora and Gord.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Nora, to the program. It's really wonderful to have you here to talk about the Theatre Saskatchewan production of Someone Who Will Watch Over Me.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's such an important organization, and to be a part of this production has been really a challenge and a delight.
Oh, great. And Nora, maybe we should begin just by letting you introduce yourself. You've been a director for a number of other plays, and I wonder if you'd like to share a little bit about that in terms of your own experience. One of the things I noted is that you've actually been an award-winning director for a recent staging of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I'm sure there's more to the story than
Well, you know, they say if you do anything long enough, you're bound to get good at it. So, and I started with theater way back when I went to Tom Collegiate. I graduated there in 1980, and there really wasn't that much of a drama program, but, you know, that little bit helped send me on my way as far as theater was concerned. And when I first started working for a living in government, I ended up working beside a fellow who was involved in the amateur community theater. So I right away got involved backstage. Then I started doing a little bit of acting, carried on with that for a number of years, and then in about, I think, 84 or 85 was the first time I actually directed, and that was the big love affair. It's something that's just so fulfilling. Yeah. And so the last thing I did direct was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was an adaptation by Jeffrey Hatcher. I always want to say Straker. No, that's a local guy. Jeffrey Hatcher. And it was quite brilliant because it had a character who was just Dr. Jekyll and a character who was just his love interest, Elizabeth. But the other characters, four were involved, were all the other characters, including the Mr. Hyde. So we had four Mr. Hydes on stage at times. So it was another one of those very challenging but rewarding plays.
Cool. So the play that you're going to be directing this time around sounds like a really interesting one. It's got a fairly significant cast, does it, in terms of the number of people involved in the cast?
Someone who will watch over me? No, it's only three people, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because it was based on an actual kidnapping that happened in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a book about it. And, of course, I cannot for love nor money bring that title of that book to mind because you've asked. So,
all right.
But, yeah, and so this play is actually quite loosely based on that. And it explores a lot of elements that, for, I think, most gentlemen, is a challenge because they're asked to explore aspects of their personality that normal society, they don't access on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. So these people are political hostages, mm-hmm, in the play.
Although they're baffled because they have no idea why they're there. They were simply snatched off the street.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, exactly. They weren't any particularly affiliated. One of them is a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Irishman. And the other is an American who is a psychologist who was there doing some studies on the effects of war and was going to write a paper on it. And then the third is an Englishman who was an English professor of Old and Middle English, and he couldn't find a job in Britain, so he was teaching English in Lebanon and was out buying pears for a flan and was captured. So they're completely baffled about why they've been put in this. In the cell. Two of them say it's a cell, and the Englishman says it's not a cell, it's a room. I've never been in a cell in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all sorts of themes that are being explored during the play.
So there's a suggestion here that it's actually an emotionally charged kind of script, but at the same time has humor.
Absolutely. In fact, the first time I read this play, I was involved in a bunch of different projects at the time, so I was reading it kind of piecemeal. And it was so profoundly sad the first time I read it that I actually said, no, I don't think I can do this. But they said, you know, just give it another read and let us know what you think. So I actually sat down in one sitting and read it and then realized that it's actually got some tremendously light moments in it, some very funny bits. And I suppose that is exactly what somebody would go through when they're trying to keep sane in a situation like they find themselves. Profoundly sad, but at other times they just do whatever they can to survive, and oftentimes that involved humor.
Wow. So this particular play, and it's something that Amnesty International really appreciates,
mm-hmm,
people are able to support by attending the play, Amnesty International, because it's being performed as a fundraiser.
Absolutely.
By Theatre Saskatchewan, presented by Theatre Saskatchewan as a fundraiser for Amnesty International, which is so important to us, mm-hmm, in terms of our work, because while we don't need, for our local group here in Regina, large sums of money, we do need to raise money on an annual basis to support our various projects, including letter writing and sending letters of appeal on behalf of people who are political prisoners in some cases, and that's kind of the context of the play, but mm-hmm, also people who may be in prison because of their religious perspectives and for other reasons, mm-hmm, as well. And we're very grateful for Theatre Saskatchewan for initiating this partnership. It's really something that's kind of new to us, but we're glad. And maybe you could just share, first of all, where is the play going to be performed, and tell us a little bit more about the host venue.
Sure. Well, it's actually at the Saskatchewan Express Theatre. I full-time work for Saskatchewan Express. That's my day job. And this is a theatre that we've been working on since 2009 to develop the old gymnasium into a smaller scale, fully functioning, top-of-the-line theatre. And it's really quite beautiful. We have full lighting, full sound, the theatre seating, and the fully curtained stage. It's really quite beautiful. And that's where we're going to be holding the event.
And that's on Pasqua Street?
It is, yes. It's the old Lions Band building. It used to be St. James School in its original form, and then it was purchased by the Lions Band in 1995, I believe. And then it was in 2005 that we took over.
Okay. So that, I believe it's close to 15th Avenue.
It is between, if you drive up 15th heading west, you'll pretty much run into the building.
Okay.
Yeah. We hope you don't. Yeah, turn. Please turn. Yeah.
In terms of getting tickets, people can go to the Theatre Saskatchewan website, I guess.
Well, I think I've got a poster here that explains it a little better for me. It's a site called Pick-A-Tick.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you buy the tickets ahead of time, they're $18 for general admission, that would be adults, and $15 for seniors and students, but if you buy at the door, everybody is $20.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's happening May 2nd and 3rd. The 2nd is an evening performance beginning at 7:30, and the 3rd is a matinee in the afternoon beginning at 1:30.
Cool. That's great. I'm really looking forward to see this myself. I understand it's, you know, when I was reading and looking at where it's been performed, it has been performed in a large number of venues and got good, you know, reviews, and this is going to be really great to mm-hmm. see here in Regina.
Well, and you know, it's been done by several really big name actors and stuff, and I'm just delighted with the people who volunteered their time. All of us are volunteering on this project. Brad McDougall was pretty much the leader in wanting to get this project off the ground, along with Melissa from Theatre Saskatchewan, and so he has much training and history in theater. He, in fact, for a while was working in England, in the West End, as a performer. And so he's come back to Saskatchewan now, and I've worked with him on a couple of projects. So this one, he's always delightful. So, of course, I was going to get involved if Brad was working on it. And then we also have somebody, his name is Reese Wagner. And Reese is actually fairly new to theater. The first time he actually acted ever was when I did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were certain requirements for the role of the American. He had to be able to sing a cappella well, and he had to be beautiful to look at, and he had to be the age that he was going to be getting married. So, you know, it was quite a specific casting, and the first person I thought of there was Reese. And then I needed an actor for the role of the Englishman who was able to play effeminate and yet really strong. Mm. And so a good friend of mine, Kevin Rispler, came on board to play that one. Yeah.
So they've been busy rehearsing over the last
year. Oh, yes. Yeah, we sure have. We've only been rehearsing twice a week. We started off with just once a week, and we spent a lot of time going over the script, because really, when you're chained to a wall, there's not a whole lot of movement. So we had to pull on what the text was telling us. And through the rehearsal process, I spoke to the actors and I said, no, we aren't physically touching because we can't. So our words have to be our caress and our slap and our whatever other way we would have interacted.
Mm-hmm. So do other people kind of get referred to in the play in terms of prison guards and folks like that?
Well, they're locked up in Lebanon, and mm-hmm. so they talk about the Arabs. That's uh-huh. the way the Irishman, who is Brad McDougall's character, pronounces it. But the author actually has done a very good job of not disparaging any particular nationality outside of the room of the guys who get kind of rough and tumble about their mm-hmm. insults to one another, but a lot of them are levities involved and whatnot. But he doesn't actually slam the Lebanese. I mean, they are the captors, but there's no real slights towards that culture. So it's really quite brilliantly written.
Right. You know, and I was thinking about the significance of this partnership, because it is so often people who are writers, people who have written plays for that matter, who are actually then later, because of their political views or for simply because of what they've written and expressed through their plays, that have been imprisoned. And Amnesty International has written letters and appeals about. And I, you know, one of the people I've always been a huge fan of is Vaclav Havel, who mm-hmm. was a playwright and in prison in Czechoslovakia years ago, and wrote poetry. Became quite famous for that, but also, as I say, was imprisoned. Later, after many changes within that country and appeals, he was released, and the story was later became president of the Czech Republic.
Wow.
You know, and here it is that somebody who was simply a playwright, you know, went on to that kind of career later on in terms of after he was released, and mm-hmm. He was an incredible human rights advocate. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably true with so many people who are playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fabulous partnership that we've been so appreciative mm-hmm. of to Theatre Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to do this, because as I say, it is such an important cause.
Mm-hmm. So, Jim, how are you doing in terms of music there? Have you got a little bit of something to share at this point in the program?
Yeah,
or?
I've been busy on my little netbook here trying to find the book that the play was based on. I'm not having much success.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, what do you think? Well, let me just check one more time in case. No message back.
No,
okay.
No news.
Anyway, I'm still working on it. But in the meantime, I've got a lovely version, Ella Fitzgerald, Someone Who Will Watch Over Me. And, of course, you know, Ella is basically unsurpassed in terms of interpreting any song. You know, I can listen to Ella all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have some Ella here for you. Just give me a moment here, and I will wake up my netbook, and hopefully it will do good things. Come on.
And, of course, yes. We have it that it is the name of the play, and it actually is the song that one of them sings snippets of throughout.
Oh, okay.
And, it speaks to exactly what this is about. At times they end up praying and hoping somebody please will watch over me, and I don't want to give too much away, but
all right.
I can't tell you much more about that.
Okay, I think I've got it here.
Ah, there we go.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and you shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. Thank you.
incomparable Ella Fitzgerald, for sure. Wow. And but you, the cast is singing this?
A line or two, they kind of hum it, and it's basically the theme of the show.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but music, you use a fair amount of music.
Yes, actually. It's one of the tools they use to try and keep themselves sane, right? And every one of the songs that is in the show, it's there for a specific reason. They speak. It speaks to love, which is a big theme in this. It speaks to somebody taking care of them, keeping them safe. And it also speaks to luck, and then also just as enjoyment, as something to try and keep their minds off of their tragedy, as distraction.
So are they kind of, is there any accompaniment for them, or are they doing it all a cappella?
They're doing it all a cappella, yeah.
Okay.
That's why it was so important to have singers as well.
Right, right. Yeah, that would be, well, I guess after you've done it a few times, then you know that the key you're going to start off is going
exactly.
to work. Is going to, rather, you know, because if you and I sometimes start off on a song, oh, well, that's too high.
Yes, right, yeah.
That's
too
low.
That's why you pick singers for these things. I am not a singer. I'd be quite lost without a little bit of help that way. But
so did the cast feel a little awkward about the singing part of it, or have they done this before?
Brad had no problem at all because he's sung all his life. Mm-hmm. Reese as well, he was fairly comfortable with it. Kevin doesn't sing as a rule, but he's actually he's got a lovely voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a challenge just getting him comfortable with it. But, you know, he's just great now. He's perfectly comfortable with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that everybody can sing.
Well, there is a theory out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I fully support it. I speak from personal experience. But yeah, I think there are more people who sing than who believe they can sing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I always say, you have your good singers, then you have your loud singers.
Yeah. And, you know, some are better than others.
I fall in the latter.
Yeah.
They can hear me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the average person, though, if they think that nobody can hear them, then they sing much better.
That's right. And those car people driving cars that you see driving by, they're not yelling, they're singing.
Yeah, but they're a little terrified of the thought of somebody actually able to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
Singing.
So, it is a terrifying thing.
Right.
I did a musical just last fall. I was Yenta in Fiddler on the Roof, and I had to sing, and nothing is more terrifying than having to sing in front of the room full of singers. Singing for the audience is nothing because it was a character role, but having to sing in front of the other singers. Oh, I almost had an aneurysm. I was so terrified.
Fiddler on the Roof would be a really interesting one to do because that's all singing.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Well, there's a fair bit of text as well.
Right.
But, you know, it certainly speaks to our theme today with the Jewish folk who were run out of Russia.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
For political reasons and
racial
reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So these people... Now, is this a real... I don't know whether I missed something while I was busy, you know, fighting with my computer. Is this based on a true story?
Yes, it is based on a kidnapping that occurred in the late 80s, early
90s. Okay, yeah.
And it's that book that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I sent a message to Brad because he's one of the people that actually read the book and... Yeah, I cannot bring it to mind no matter how hard I try. So it is loosely based on it. The names have been changed, and I believe there were actually more people kidnapped at the time. I think it was 4 or 6 of them or something. So this has been a pared-down version of that.
Sure, just to make it easier to tell the story.
Yeah, exactly, and 3 is a good number because you can always break a tie.
Oh, we've got some more music that we're going to play after the break.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I think we're going to revert back to our CJTR persona here, and we're just going to talk about our London Calling Look and Listen Lottery, which is one of our important fundraisers here at CJTR. And as the title implies, instead of going to New York, this year we're going to London.
All right.
That's our grand prize. And it's a trip for two to London, England, and it includes return airfare for two, and a 4-star hotel for 7 nights, a full day of sightseeing tour of London, including Buckingham Palace, a cruise down the River Thames, and more. And the more includes a London rock music tour with you're going to be looking at Abbey Road, Paul McCartney's office, Pink Floyd's studios, and even more. I don't know what the more is included there. Well, we got 2 tickets to Michael Jackson's Thriller in the West End.
Wow, that's fabulous.
Yes, $1,000 cash to spend any way you want rounds out that whole grand prize. The second prize is a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson Bog and Lee Rickert Travel, and they're the folks, of course, that have arranged our grand prize, and we thank them very much for that. Our third prize is from the Regina Folk Festival, and it's we're calling that the Regina Folk Festival 2015 Experience. And that's two weekend passes to Regina Folk Festival 2015, and that includes vendor coupons for the food court and arts market. So, pretty exciting prizes.
Yeah,
pretty
absolutely. Neat.
And the tickets are $20 each. We're only selling 1,200 of them, so your odds of winning are pretty darn good, better than 649 for sure. And the draw date is May 7th. So that is coming up on us pretty quick here now. So if you want your ticket, you better get on it. You can call us here at the office during regular business hours at 525-7274. And we can do that with a credit card. And there's other ways to do it. You can do it online as well. And to I think you can order with email as well, but to get the full information on the whole thing, if you go to cjtr.ca, you will find the information that you need. And I'd just like to throw in here too that this is an important fundraiser for CJTR, and we're a volunteer-driven community radio station. We've got more than 80 volunteers, and we deliver a wide diversity of music, spoken word, and multicultural programs. If you've, if you're just listening to the, to CJTR for the first time, you have to stay tuned to us and just see what all is involved. We have a fantastic spectrum of spoken word and musical programs. And by supporting the Look and Listen Lottery, you are helping Regina Community Radio. So with that, I think we'll go to our break, and I'm gonna dig around on my computer here, and I'm going to find some more music that you will probably find in the production of Someone Who'll Watch Over Me. So we will be right back. That was kind of a delightful version of Run Rabbit Run, and kind of appropriate because, you know, your cast members are going to be singing that or humming it or whatever a cappella, unaccompanied and at odd times. And
exactly. Well, it's brought up because at one point letters are written home verbally to their family, and the character of Michael writes home to his mother, and his mother always would say rabbits on the first of the month for luck. And so then it leads into the Run Rabbit song.
Right, right.
So I was just going to, for people who have joined the program, in this second half hour of the program, welcome Nora Berg as the director of the special presentation of Theatre Saskatchewan's play or production of Who Will Watch Over Me? It's going to be May 2nd and 3rd?
That's right, yeah. It's in the Saskatchewan Express Theatre, which is at 2272 Pasqua Street. And if people are interested in tickets, and we certainly hope they are, because it's a great way to support Amnesty, you can get those at PicTix, I believe is the name. I'm a bit of a troglodyte here. PicATic is what it is. PicATic. And if you get them ahead of time, they're $18 for general admission and $15 for seniors and students, or $20 if you want to get them at the door. All proceeds, of course, are going directly to Amnesty.
Oh, that is wonderful. And we're, as I said earlier, we're very grateful for the support that Theatre Saskatchewan and the cast and yourself are providing to us by doing this. And it sounds like a really interesting play. And I know from discussions I've had with a number of friends, I think we're going to get a good turnout.
Good. Excellent.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you.
It's just a few weeks away.
Yeah, I'd like also just to say thank you to the backstage crew. Patricia Wilson has come on as stage manager, and she's wonderful. And Karen Morley, who's actually an American transplanted in Regina, is working on it as well. She's learning how to be a stage manager with Patricia. And then Robert Huber, who's known to theater circles, is doing the lighting and sound for us. And Regina Little Theater is very kindly letting us borrow flats for the set and things. So that's very much appreciated as well.
That's great. So maybe just for fun, the theater community in Regina, in terms of people who are actually involved like yourself, either directing or involved as actors, actresses, how large would that be? Is it a fairly vibrant community?
It really is. And every time you turn around, there's yet another theater group that's forming or doing the odd show here and there. And like Regina Little Theatre actually has been around since 1926. And in all that time, we've been completely volunteer run.
Wow.
Yeah. Even through the war years, we never had a break. We always did something.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's the big mama of the amateur community theatre. And then, of course, there's a number of musical theatre groups as well as Lyric Musical Theatre and Regina Summer Stage. And then there's a couple of Shakespeare companies that have started as well.
Really?
Yep, yep. Five Loaves Theater, I believe, is doing a theatrical Shakespeare. They're not doing What You Do. They're about they're doing As You Like It, I think, or Midsummer Night's Dream, maybe. I can't remember which one of them. There's a new production company, too, Sterling Productions, I believe. They're doing Avenue Q, and so there's a whole bunch of brand new theater happening. So it's nice to see.
Yeah, that's great for Regina.
Nobody thinks anything happens in the prairies. Yeah, it does.
But the other part of the story really is Theater Saskatchewan in itself, and because it is really involved in supporting community theater throughout the province.
It is, yes. It originally started as the Saskatchewan Drama Association, and it changed in the 90s, I believe, to Theater Saskatchewan. It's the umbrella organization through which all of the provincial amateur companies actually belong to, and then the Theatre Saskatchewan receives funding so that they can provide programming and a venue for us.
Right. And sort of the local community theatre in Saskatchewan just doesn't exist in, you know, larger cities like Regina and Saskatoon. It's all over the place.
It's all over. In fact, Saskatoon struggles with their amateur theater company. Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. You'd think a big center would have it easy, but I think it's the smaller centers who get so much more support just because it's smaller and there's more personal vested interest in the people that are involved in the theater group because everybody knows everybody. So
maybe one of the advantages of having community in a true community in a smaller community.
Well, it makes me think of my dinner theater experiences at places like Milestone.
Exactly.
Creelman. Yeah. In fact, I even went to a dinner theater in Lake Alma.
Wow.
L.A. is the convict.
Yeah.
Went to L.A. for dinner theater. And it was in the Elks, which is kind of a Quonset-type building.
Yeah.
And the food was fantastic.
Yeah.
The sets were very minimal. And the performances were fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what? Just because you call yourself amateur doesn't mean you're less than. Amateur means for the love of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just because somebody doesn't earn a living as an actor doesn't make them a bad actor. It just means they chose not to earn a living as one.
Generally really enjoyable. And then you're watching your friends and neighbors.
Exactly.
And, you know, you know that they're amateurs,
that's
you know.
Right. Yeah.
And you just, you know, marvel at the performance.
Yeah. True. Yep. Lots of passion, lots of time. If people who are simply audience members knew how much time goes into the rehearsals, I think they would be staggered.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done very little bit of stuff myself. In fact, high school, so that's going back a long way.
Yeah, doesn't it, though?
Like a half century.
Yeah. I hear you. Mm-hmm.
So did you sing too, Jim?
No, no singing. No singing, fortunately.
Yes, I know when we were wondering if we were going to get things hooked up for the songs, I'm like, well, I'm not singing them. That would be bad on so many levels.
But I go back to my other point. People surprise themselves. Well, if you actually force them to, or it, let's say you encourage them strongly, yes, you can do this, and just give it a try, and you'll see.
True.
And they do see, and they you know it's perfectly fine.
Yep. True. Yep.
So I'm a believer in singing.
There you go. Well, you know what? It is a healing thing. It really is. And just because somebody isn't necessarily a really proficient singer doesn't mean you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. Go to church. They're singing for the love of it.
Yeah. And that's a large reason why a lot of people do go to church.
Exactly.
Because they enjoy the music.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
So you were going to share a little bit of good news from Amnesty International about one of the recent cases we've been working on, I think. And
yeah, as I was driving around today, I got a new phone from my son.
All right.
Bless his heart. And it bonged at me, and I discovered that... we have some news from the Amnesty International Urgent Action Network, and it's some good news from the Sudan. Sandara Farouk Kaduda has been released. She was released on the 15th of April, so that's 2 days ago. She had been abducted on the 12th of April by a group of men in civilian clothes believed to belong to the National Intelligence Security Service. And... her family told Amnesty International in a public statement on that day, that's a couple of days ago, our daughter was released today as she was kidnapped by security apparatus on 12th of April. She contacted her mother around 7:30 in the evening and told her that the security agents dropped her at Street 60 in East Khartoum. She was found in very poor health and with signs of ill treatment. So at least she's been released. A little the worse for wear, but at least she's been released, and so we don't have to write any more letters on that. So that is good news, at least that she, A, that she didn't spend that long there, and B, she's out, and yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully she'll recover from her mistreatment.
And it's certainly a good example of the kinds of things we do spend our money on when we raise money through support from our partner, Theatre Saskatchewan, in this upcoming event. And
International stamps cost $2.50 now.
Wow.
Yeah. And Amnesty, our local group, pays for those letters for the most part. We do have a few members that will pay for the stamps out of their own pocket, but we don't expect letter writers to do that. Mm-hmm. And we do fundraising to accomplish that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And what we do, just if people haven't heard the news before, we do get together weekly, fairly informally, but at the Atlantis Coffee Shop downtown, at Victoria Avenue in Hamilton. And it's on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock in the evening. And what we do is write letters on current urgent actions where people are, as in this case, that you've referenced, Jim, where people are imprisoned because of their... either the political or religious views or for other reasons, and other cases. And one I wanted to mention that's really another very urgent one is a case, and I there's a context to me referencing it. This woman, Khalida Yahar, she's actually in jail right now. She's a Palestinian parliamentarian, and she's in jail. It's really significant to us because just a few weeks ago, if people were listening to our program, we had as our guest Melanie Rose, who is an artist, shared her perspectives on artwork and her own work and the exhibits that have been at the Mackenzie Art Gallery. And
you still
also
have a chance to see that, by the way. It ends this weekend.
Yeah, this is the last weekend for the exhibit that's at the Mackenzie, as you say, Jim. There's another show at the Sakewick Gallery. Melanie Rose has got artwork there, but it's her sister-in-law, her mom, her sister-in-law's mom, who is actually featured in this current Urge in Action and is in jail. She's a Palestinian parliamentarian, but she is in jail right now, and we're going to be sending as many appeals as we can, and it's very urgent because, again, unfortunately, her own health is not good, and we're going to be sending appeals to try to get her released. She's actually suffered a series of strokes, has high blood cholesterol, and needs medication and blood tests every day, few days, for her condition. So we've got a little bit of music there that you would like to share as well, Jim.
Yeah, I was looking around for. I wanted a version that's really sort of more amateur than accomplished, and I found a nice version of Amazing Grace done by a 7-year-old girl.
Lovely.
And it is lovely. So without further ado, as they say, I'd like just to fire up the old computer here and we'll just have a listen. Come on, computer, let's go.
Okay, just a second. Wrong computer.
Modern technology.
Praise.
Okay, and that, just a lovely video from YouTube of a 70-year-old, and nicely done.
Mm-hmm, very much so. What a voice for seven.
So we get to hear Amazing Grace if we
yes.
go to...
Yes, you will. Yeah.
All right. And who's singing that?
That's the American character, Reese Wagner's his name, his real name.
Oh, okay.
Adam is his character name.
Okay. And that's mm-hmm. wonderful. That'll be... So what a treat for people, you know, they get to go and support Amnesty International, mm-hmm. but really see some wonderful acting and hear some wonderful music, too.
And they really should pack a tissue.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes. I mean, it can't be this play and the subject matter without it being very poignant. Mm-hmm.
But as you were mentioning earlier, there's humor involved, too.
Oh, yes. You'll be laughing for that or crying for that reason as well, too, because it's so funny in spots.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. And that's where these actors really shine. There's their ability to take simple text, which I read and thought, oh, that's amusing. But then they just bring it to life and it's side-splittingly funny.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nora, you're the director, so you've been there regularly as they're rehearsing.
You bet. Yep.
And directing, I guess.
Yes, from the get-go. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Great.
And it's really been quite an organic journey. I don't know if I really care for the word organic in this context, but really because we've had to explore the behavior of these men in a setting where normal societal norms do not apply.
Okay.
And so it's been asking them to go places where in real life they probably don't ever go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a challenge, but a good one.
And this is all part of the play, Someone Who Will Watch Over Me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Being produced by Theatre Saskatchewan.
That's right, on May the 2nd and 3rd.
All right. And people can get tickets?
Yep. Okay, I've got to look at that thing again. It's Picatick. P-I-C-A-T-I-C is the place that you can get it. And if you see a poster around town, it has one of those little information squares that you tag with your cell phone, and it'll give you all the details.
Right.
All right. So have you got some more news there, Jim, about music? Or?
I found a James Taylor version of The River is Wide.
Oh, wow.
So I think we should play that.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, we'll do that right now. Let's see how I do.
The water is wide. I can cross over. And neither have I wings to fly. Build me a boat that will carry two, and both shall row, my love and I. There is a ship, and she sails the sea. She's loaded deep, as deep can be, but not so deep as the love I. I sink or swim. Oh, love is handsome, and love is fine, the sweetest jewel, when first it's new. But love grows old, fades away like summer dew. Build me a boat and both shall row,
my love and I, and both shall roam. My love and I,
and a lovely version of The River is Wide by James Taylor.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
For sure. And we're getting close to quitting time here, Gord.
So maybe you should just mention once again, Nora, and thank you so much for coming. The context in which we've been having you talk today was the production of Someone Who Will Watch Over Me,
right,
being mm-hmm. produced by Theatre Saskatchewan mm-hmm. as a benefit production for Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful. But
it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. And you can mention again where the tickets are available.
Sure. It's May 2nd and 3rd. It's at the Saskatchewan Express Theatre, which is at 2272 Pasqua Street. And the tickets, you can either call Theatre Saskatchewan at 352-0797, or you can go to Pick-A-Tick. And if you buy tickets ahead of time, they're $18 general admission, $15 for seniors and students, and $20 if you prefer to get them at the door.
Thanks to you, and also I should say thanks to the cast and the other people involved in the production, because as you're mentioning earlier, there are a lot of other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, director's great, but unless you have people who can actually do something with what your vision is, then what good am I? So it's really, it's credit to them, because they've done a remarkable job.
Great.
And before we sign off completely, just one small reminder about our Look and Listen Lottery, London Calling. Our grand prize trip for two to London, England. The second prize, a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson Vaughanley Rickert Travel. And third prize is Regina Folk Festival 2015 experience. Tickets are only $20. Only 1,200 are going to be sold. And the draw date is May 7th. Call now. Buy your tickets. And you can just call 525-7274. We'll look after you right now. And with that, we're going to close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."